Napoleon Bonaparte has been dead for 181 years, but the brooding emperor, pictured with one hand tucked in his overcoat, is making a comeback in his home country. In France, they're calling it Napoleon Mania, and the new attention being paid to Napoleon has sparked a debate about whether he's someone the French should really be proud of. NPR's Nick Spicer has more.
There's a musical, an upcoming movie, and a bevy of books and conferences. The TV miniseries stars Gérard Depardieu and John Malkovich. It was the most-watched program in France on several nights, although a Schwarzenegger flick did once muscle Napoleon out of the top spot. The $40 million extravaganza ended this week with a depiction of the Battle of Waterloo, one showcasing French bravado before English troops.
No one will ever forget your courage, but it's time to lay down your arms. Merde! Charge!
It was the undoing of a man who did a lot. Napoleon Bonaparte's shoes, undersized as they were, remain hard to fill. Born on the island of Corsica in 1769, he is made a general at age 25. After turning 26, Napoleon organizes a military coup to save the French Republic. At 27, he falls in love with Josephine, all while defeating Austria. The year after he invades Egypt, once master of continental Europe at 35, the Pope crowns him emperor. Facts your average high school student can recite. So why all the attention now? Jean Tullard is recognized as the world expert on Napoleon Bonaparte. He says the fascination is born of nostalgia and that France may be in a kind of national funk. Napoleon, says Tullard, is the mythical figure people can transfer their hopes and fears onto.
Il y a eu passion.
Since 1870, there has been a passion for Napoleon, he says. That's when France lost Alsace and Lorraine. Later, General de Gaulle was inspired by him during World War II. But right now, France is not a major military power. We even had trouble sending our single aircraft carrier to help in the war in Afghanistan. One of the stars in the TV miniseries, John Malkovich, qualifies that explanation. He lives in southern France and says most ordinary French people don't get that whipped up in Napoleon mania.
In my life here, I don't sense that they miss the sort of French grandeur, French place in the world. Maybe some politicians.
As it turns out, France's current foreign minister, Dominique de Villepin, has written a book about Napoleon. In fact, historian Tullard says some 80,000 have been published, more than every day gone by since Napoleon died. Some wonder, though, if he's worth that much attention, and especially whether trying to soothe the national psyche with tales of Napoleonic glory is a good idea.
It's a shame for France to have such a man.
Roger Caratini is an historian and author of Napoleon the Impostor. Caratini says the general from Corsica killed millions across Europe, trampled on human rights, reinstated slavery in the Caribbean. His list even includes the word genocide.
No, a man who tried to dominate by war, by force, by violence, like Mussolini and especially Hitler, is not a man of peace, is not a great man. Is something horrible, it's a monster.
The more favorable books and articles coming out accentuate the positive. Napoleon did overhaul France's legal system, launch a vast public works program, create the Bank of France, and sponsor artists and scientists, including the one who deciphered hieroglyphics. So how to remember such a man without hiding the black marks on his record?
Napoleon est mort à Saint-Denis.
In the 1980s, the French punk band Berrurier Noir chose to celebrate Napoleon, but Napoleon's death on the isolated island of St. Helena. The Russian composer Tchaikovsky preferred in his 1812 overture not to mark Napoleon's death, just his defeat that year. In his final lonely exile, the ex-emperor took great pains to have put down his version of events for posterity. His last battle was to be remembered. So far, it doesn't look like another Waterloo. Nick Spicer, NPR News, Paris.